On this episode of Of Course Agility, my guest is Toya McCullough, who recently attended her first NADAC trial. After my interview with her, I will have a little bit of extended commentary to wrap up this podcast. My guest today on Of Course Agility is Toya McCullough. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And I'll say that I met you just recently in South Jersey at the In the Zone trial. And there were a number of reasons I approached you at the trial. One was, it was your first NADAC trial. Is that correct?
Yes, it was my very first one, and I really enjoyed it.
That's great. And thank you. I reached out to and told you about my podcast, and I said, you know, I'd love to have you as a guest, and I really appreciate you saying yes and coming on. So as I do with all my guests, I'm actually going to ask, how did you discover agility? How did you start into it?
Well, it started a long time ago. I used to watch it on TV. And then I rescued my first mini poodle in 2014. He was 8 months old, and he was really bad. He wouldn't listen to me. He wouldn't come to me. He wouldn't sit. He just completely ignored me. He was kind of bad. So a lot of people started talking about my dog and my pet ownership abilities. So like, I'm going to prove them wrong. And I heard about agility, so I enrolled in a class. And from day one, we got hooked. And now he has this awesome sit-stay. I can go anywhere. He just stay there until I come back. And it really increased our bond, and he listens to me now really well. So.
All right. So you kind of got into it. And in 2014, I assume you went somewhere to take agility classes to learn how to do it.
Right. I wrote in the foundation's agility class in a local venue. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And usually I ask people, you know, since I met you down in South Jersey, just in general, where are you located?
I'm in the suburbs of Philadelphia, near the King of Prussia area, right near the mall.
Okay. By the mall. Yeah, all right. Yeah, very good. I figured you probably were somewhere down in that area because that South Jersey draws, you know, people from all around. I'm up from North Jersey, and then there's people from further away, Maryland, Delaware. You know, people come from all around to that trial. So you've been doing agility since, you said, 2014 was when you first got going in it. And then going to trials, what venues have you participated in?
At first, when my dog was really young, we did nursery because I was kind of scared. And he did zoomies all over the place. We did a nursery division at UKI. And then after that, we did CPE because they have a lot of games and it's like a really casual environment. And after CPE, I did AKC. And I did the normal 3 runs, so that's AKC. There was a person in my class who used to always talk about NADAC. NADAC, NADAC, NADAC. I said, what is this NADAC she keeps talking about? And that's when I signed up for it.
Okay.
So I was in USDAA too, so, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you've done way more. As I've often said on my podcast, the only thing I've ever done is NADAC. So you've tried a lot of different venues. Has it always been with the one dog that you have now, or have you had different dogs over this period?
No, the poodle is actually my first agility dog and my first dog in general.
Okay, and what's the name of your dog, just because I'm curious?
What did you say? I'm sorry.
Oh, the name of your dog. What's your dog's name?
Oh, his name is Brecker. I named him after a famous Philly jazz saxophonist.
Oh, okay. Brecker.
Michael Brecker is a Brecker.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Very good. After a saxophonist. Wow. And well, since you brought it up, and when we were communicating via email, I noticed in your signature you had something about saxophone. So I take it that's another hobby you have. You like to play the saxophone?
Yes. The first day I brought my dog home from the rescue, I made sure that he was used to the saxophone. So it was like positive reinforcement when every time he heard a saxophone and he was good to it. He wouldn't scream. So, yeah, I play the saxophone in a community band. We have like 100 members. We meet once a week, and then we have concerts throughout the summer and then Christmas time.
Okay. All right. That's that's good. That's good. That's good. Another thing to enjoy doing. So tell me a little bit, just because I don't know those other venues. Now, you mentioned, I think you said it was UKI Nursery. I don't know what that is. So could you just explain it a little bit to me?
Sure. The nursery group in UKI is for beginner people, beginner handlers, or beginner dogs. It's just like when you have a bee match. You just want to get used to it, but you still have a judge. They just grade you less. It's not as harsh as it is doing the beginner round. You don't have a teeter, but you do have an A-frame. You still have the normal amount of leaves. It's just an easier course for the little young dogs and the handler to get used to.
Okay. All right. So it's like, I guess in NADAC, it would be kind of like the intro level in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Okay. All right. Good. I had not heard of that. And then you said you've tried CPE. Oh, I guess, I don't know if try's the right word, but you've, how many of these are you serious in, or have you just tried them to dabble in them?
So this is my band. I have band. Sometimes I work the weekend. I can't get in them, maybe. So right now my dog and I are doing NADAC, CPE, and AKC.
Okay. And well, I know I just saw you at a NADAC trial, so I assume you're just at the some. But if I recall, I don't think you were at the novice level. So have you obtained some titles in the other organizations?
Currently, my dogs and I are AKC. We're in the master level, but I wasn't so sure about NADAC because I heard stuff about more distance, and I wasn't really sure about the hoops. I didn't want to stress them out, so I just put them in the novice level to make sure, you know.
Oh, okay. So you were right. Yeah, I remember seeing you run, but I didn't remember in what level you were at the time. Okay, so let's go, because let's talk a little bit about NADAC, because you were. Have you done another one since I saw you, or was it just that one that you've done?
The only thing about NADAC is most of your trials are either New Jersey or Maryland. And right now, I have to work sometimes in the weekend, and I'm a part of an AKC trial club, or AKC club, and I had a volunteer. So I'm trying to go to the next one in September. That's the only time my schedule will allow me to go.
Right.
So I'm definitely aiming for one in September, because my little dragon's sick, and she needs surgery, so I can't go in July. So September is it.
Right. Okay. I totally understand that finding time to go to trials is another issue for a lot of people. I mean, you know, I can't. There are, you know, people that agility is more important to them, or they have more time and they go all the time. Like, they can get, you know. But you know, for me, it's like the last trial I went to. I saw you at the one down in the zone, and I've gone to one since. And I'm probably going to one in June, but then after that, I may not go to another one. You know, I'm similar to you. I don't get to them all the time, and. But sounds like maybe you're a little more constrained. But I too have to arrange my schedule around things so I can get to trials. But
yeah.
Okay. So, but at that trial, when you were at the NADAC trial, you were in novice regular. Did you run some of the other NADAC classes?
No, I just did novice throughout because I was unsure. I didn't want to pressure my dog.
No, that's fine. Hey, I understand that too. You know, when you try something new, sometimes you just want to see it. I had seen you run. I didn't remember which ones you were on. So you just ran in novice, novice regular.
Right. Yes.
And did you enjoy it?
I did. But so when we do AKC, we usually only enroll in 3 runs. I noticed that NADAC has more runs. AKC only has like 5, and you only do it one time. So I did I put him in six classes, and then you could repeat. It was cool. You could repeat your runs.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. You can. That trial, that the in the zone trial, was a double run format. So yes, you were able to run the same course twice in the classes that you were entered in, which is fun because you get two shots at it. And NADAC generally, that was a relatively small trial, but it wasn't super small. So, you know, the day went pretty fast, even with, I think we had four different classes, but everything was run twice that day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Were you there?
Yeah.
Were you, I don't remember. I know I saw you, but were you there more than one day, or did I just see you there one day?
I was there 2 days. I think it was Friday and Saturday. No, wait. It was Thursday and Friday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. You were there the second. Yeah, I was there the full, kind of the full week. Yes, you came on the Thursday, Friday once. Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Which is unusual to have trials on Thursday and Friday, but Lisa Schmidt, who runs In the Zone, had a hiccup with the scheduling down there at that Salem County Fairgrounds. So she had gotten special permission from NADAC to run the trial on Thursday and Friday, which is a bit odd. But, you know, there were quite a few people there for a weekday.
Right. I'll be happy to do that so I can take off.
Right. That's right. Yeah. So okay. So you did, but you said you're, okay, so you ran. You said you were just in the regular, so I assume then you just ran on the, how many times did you run then? Just twice in each day?
I ran six on Thursday, only did three on Friday.
Okay. Okay. Were you in jumpers or something? What else did you enter?
I can't remember.
Okay.
The last thing. It was tunnelers, weavers, standard, and chances?
Yes, I believe that is correct. I believe that's what was being run during at least one of those days. Yeah. I do remember that we had tunnelers. There was regular, I believe, both days, I think. Yeah, both days, I think there was regular. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
Or standard in other places. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's good. So you kind of mentioned it though, too, to me a little bit there, but I've always gotten the impression AKC, there's a lot more people and you don't get to do as many runs in a day. Am I correct on that? Or does that vary?
It's true. Cause we had a trial this weekend outside in the park. My dog isn't fast. It's like chances, but they call it fast.
Okay.
And it started at 7:30, and then he was in standard. It started at like 10:30, and then he was in jumpers, just like the jumpers in NADAC, and it started at 2:30.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, there were three. Were there other? See, I'm not an AKC person, so I don't know. Were there other classes? I guess in that trial too.
Yeah. There were other classes in between, yeah. Okay. There were two rings going on at the same time.
Oh, it was a two-ring trial. Okay, yeah. Right. So there sounds like there were a lot of people, probably, if it was a two-ring trial.
Right, it was a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I've been doing a NADAC for quite a while, and way back when I first started, there occasionally were NADAC two-ring trials, so... I do remember going to trials where there sometimes were a lot of people in two rings, but I haven't had a NADAC trial like that in a long time. So I'm not gonna. Well, I am. I'm gonna ask the question. You don't have to ask it, answer it. But now you only go to NADAC once of the venues that you kind of dabble in. Do you or does your dog have favorites within that?
Oh, yes. So both of us, we don't like tunnelers, so I probably won't get in that again.
Not a fan of tunnels. Okay.
Yeah, I like weavers and definitely standard. That was fun. And Chances. I love Chances.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So you liked the little, I assume you were in Novice Chances.
Yeah. Novice Chances.
Yeah. Yep. So did you do okay with it? Did you get the challenge line or?
I did it, but I think the second time I was in too many runs and my dog was tired, so he didn't want to go up the A-frame. So I just picked him up and left.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I understand that. And now your dog is, if I recall, was like, he's a little black poodle-like type dog, right?
Right. He's a little black poodle.
Yeah. Right, but a smaller one, not I don't know. There, I know there's sizes in poodles, but he's not like a big poodle. He's a relatively small poodle.
Right, he's only 12 pounds.
Yeah, okay. And seeing you at the trial, I want to ask this question because I've not seen someone, well, maybe I have, but not at a trial, really. Yeah, I don't know that you had set up anywhere, and I know occasionally you were walking around the fairgrounds with your dog in like a portable backpack crate, I would call it. Is that something you always do, or did you just do it there at that NADAC trial?
No, people know me in the AKC where from my backpack. I put him in it because he's calm and it's like a little crate. He hates his crate. And that way he can stay on my back and relax. I don't need him to be upset before he runs, so I try to make sure he's happy. So I just keep him on my back. We chill out together and stuff.
Right, right. Well, I was amazed because I saw you walking around and your dog definitely was calm in that little crate. He didn't seem to mind it at all. He seemed to really enjoy being carried around. And then I know at times you would just pull up, sit somewhere, and he'd be in that little, well, I would call it the portable backpack crate. It was pretty good. It was pretty cool for small dog people. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm known for the little backpack crate. Yeah.
All right. That's cool. That's cool. Now, I'm going to ask another question. Another reason I reached out to you, because, and you know, you really can't tell when you're talking to people, and this is a podcast, it's not a video cast, is you are an African-American, and I have, over the years, not seen that many African-Americans doing agility. So I'd like to ask, how often have you seen, you know, others doing agility? Because you've gone to many more venues than I have. Is it common, or are you kind of the rarity?
Well, to be honest, I haven't seen any UKI, CPE, or USBAA. I've only seen it mainly in the AKC, maybe like two or three in the AKC.
Right, okay. And I know you mentioned in the beginning that you sort of discovered agility by seeing it on TV and stuff, that you saw it. And I know over the years when, you know, a lot of times I do watch agility. It's, you know, often it's like AKC or Westminster or something like that. But I know even there, and now that's the higher level, the people are, you know, the higher level people there. But even there, it's very rare that I see an African-American. I know in agility, you are in the other demographic. I would say the majority of people that do agility are women, and you are a woman, but there are men. And I know sometimes when you watch it on TV, there are some men, but still, I would say they're slightly in the minority.
Yeah, that's true. Hopefully that'll change, you know, just bring your awareness to the sport. Like, I also volunteer at the Westminster AKC Championship, too. It's fun. So.
Oh, really? Oh, that okay. I'm going to ask you about that then. So you've actually gone to the Westminster. Now, is that the agility runs you volunteered at, or the actual like confirmation show?
Oh, I'm not sure about confirmation. I just do the agility part.
Okay, that's cool. And I know in the past, I think it's been like on one of the, I think it's called the Pier, one of the Pier locations in New York City. This is what we're talking about, right?
Yes, they actually changed it. It's actually this Friday, and it's going to be in Tarrytown, New York, outside. due to the COVID, you know, the COVID virus. So they changed their location.
Right, and the time of year too, because normally Westminster is I'd say in February, and thank you for bringing this up, because I just recently saw that on the news, and they were talking, you know, they were talking about the some of the dogs that are going to be there, and I didn't know that. So obviously we are going to mention, I don't always do this, but we are recording this on June 8th, so this is. You're talking when I release, I'm probably releasing this next week, this podcast. So probably Westminster would have already happened for everyone listening. But yeah, that's interesting. So you've gone and volunteered at the in prior years in like that February timeframe at the agility. What were you doing as a volunteer? I'm curious.
I worked in ring crew. Because I volunteer a lot during the agility season, so Marine crew. Sometimes I do assistant scribe. Sometimes I'm the score runner. And then I work at the championship, the final championship. I'm the leash runner. And you just pick up bars and stuff.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. Well, a lot of times there at the finals, that's actually on TV, too.
It is going to be on TV. They're going to air the preliminaries are on Friday morning, and they're going to do the taping of the final on Friday afternoon, I think Friday night, and then they're going to show it on Saturday.
Oh, okay. You're talking now about what's coming up this weekend in June, huh?
Yes.
Are you volunteering there then now too?
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, okay, okay. But you volunteer in the past too, correct?
I volunteered for the past 3 years.
Wow, okay. That's cool. I got to think that, you know, doing ring crew at something like that is pretty cool. I mean, I always kind of enjoyed doing ring crew and setting bars. You get like that first, you really don't get a better seat of watching somebody run when you're doing ring crew.
I know, but the bad thing about it, you have to really pay attention because they don't want to wait. They want to keep it rolling, you know, keep it rolling. So you got to pay attention.
Yeah, it's not like a normal trial where you can be a little slow on getting out there and setting the drop bar, huh? You have to be really on your toes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I wish you luck on that. And I'll keep my eyes peeled. I did not know that it was going to be on TV. I saw the thing about the Westminster confirmation part, but it didn't even occur to me. It should have that, yeah, they're probably doing the agility too. All right. That's great. I'm sure it might be repeated too. Sometimes they do that. And a lot of times they have it after the fact online and you can watch some things too. So if the people do hear this, if my listeners do hear this, and it's after the fact, they might be able to go to the Westminster Kennel Club website and find the agility on there. I'm not sure, but maybe.
Right. Oh, they're having it on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Almost makes me want to release the podcast quicker. Maybe I will. maybe I'll release you sooner. But I normally release my podcast on Wednesday, so I'd have to release it tomorrow if I do that. but it's good to know. Thank you, because I did not realize that.
No problem.
So you're thinking that's going to be on YouTube. It's not going to be on any cable channels, but it's on YouTube. Yeah, all right.
It's on Fox for sure.
Yeah, okay. It might be on the Fox channel. Yeah, okay, yeah. And that's where I know I've seen some agility in the past, too. I think AKC Nationals recently were, and I don't remember when that was, but back whenever it was from the middle of the country, I forget. I want to say Tulsa, but I'm not sure if that's where it was. I know that was the last agility thing that I saw, like, on TV. And that was AKC. All right. Very good. That's great. All right. So I don't know what else. We've covered a lot here. How did you, have you always had dogs, or is Bricker your first dog too?
He's actually my my first dog. I'm mainly a reptile person. I tried for 4 years to get a rescue dog. Rescues turned me away. So he's the first rescue dog that the rescue said, "Yeah, sure, you can take him." So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, did that have something to do with you having reptiles? I don't understand.
My knees are fence, and plus I work, so they don't like for you to work.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there, because when I was trying to, my current dog is Trace, and back after my prior dog had passed away, I wanted to get another dog, and I think I've mentioned it on this podcast in some of my first episodes. You know, the grind of going to rescue groups is a bit annoying, because, like, everyone, they want you to fill out their own paperwork, you know, maybe references. Do you have a fenced yard? Do you have this? There's so many little things there that they will turn you away for. And I believe I was turned away from one dog, and I don't even remember what the reason was anymore. But yeah. I think it was because I said I didn't have a fenced yard, and I don't have a fenced yard, but my sister's house, there's a fenced yard. So I often, you know, I like any type of like training in agility or something, I go over to my sister's. It's not a big backyard, but it's a little bit. You can put maybe three obstacles and be able to use it. But yeah, I hear what you're saying there on that. And I think the rescues lose out on that. I know they want to be protective of their animals, yeah. But there's a lot of good people that I think sometimes they turn away for maybe reasons that they shouldn't. Well, I'm glad you finally got Bricker, and you guys are a happy team.
Right? Yeah, he loves agility. As soon as he sees it, he gets this. As soon as we get on the start line, he gets a serious look on his face. It's so funny. I just want to laugh, but I can't, because I have to try to remember the course, you know?
Right. I hear you. Yeah, it's the team thing. You want to enjoy, that's why a lot of people do it, Julie. It's why I do it. It's like that team thing between you and your dog. And it is. It's a lot of fun. And as long as it's fun for your dog, too, you know?
Right. Good exercise, too.
It is, yeah. The training, the going to class, everything else. Yeah, it is. I agree with you. It's good. It's good exercise. It keeps everybody moving, including me. All right. Very good. So let's see. We've covered the venues you've done, and we've covered that you just recently did NADAC. It sounds like we didn't turn you away, and you'd like to still do some more NADAC in the future.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Well, I'll see you down the road at some other NADAC trial. I don't get to Maryland too much. I have in the past occasionally, but Maryland... The travel to Maryland from Jersey isn't quite as good as it is for me to some other directions. And I have a camper, and I haven't really found good places to camp near some of the trials that are down in Maryland. But Maryland is as you may know, is a real hotbed for agility of all venues, including NADAC.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a lot of NADAC down in the Maryland area. In general, there's often a trial almost every weekend in Maryland. Definitely pre-COVID. And now that we're coming in like the other way on that, I would say it's probably likely to return to that. There's also a lot of trials in the other venues, too.
Right. I want to go to New York, but that's kind of too far. It's like 6 hours away, so nah, I'll just pass.
Right. Yeah. But you're going to volunteer this weekend.
Oh, right. That's you know. That's not like New York.
Okay. Well, that's true. Like, that's true. It's. But I thought you said it was Tarrytown. Is it Tarrytown? That's New York, right?
Oh, you're right. That's 3 hours. You're right. Never mind. I just realized that is 3 hours away from me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah. I'm not aware. Like, I can't say on all the other venues. I know there's a fair amount of AKC in New Jersey and CPE. I know there is some. I'm not as plugged into CPE. There used to be a little bit more CPE up this way, but there was a club in my local area that did CPE and NADAC, but they. They've kind of gone defunct, which is unfortunate for me.
Aww.
Yeah. But that's why, you know, as we were discussing, it's sometimes, you know, you got to make that plan ahead so you can get to a trial that you can fit into your schedule.
Right. I've done trials in Tennessee and North Carolina before. I planned it. So, yeah, I have driven far. Never mind. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, when you get involved in agility, eventually you kind of decide occasionally you are going to travel a little ways.
Right. Yeah.
And Tennessee from Philly, that's not real close, and North Carolina, depending on where it is, that's a bit of a drive too. That's probably from Philly. It's 9 hours at least, I would think.
Right, it is. I have family in North Carolina, so I use that. I was going to visit them, so I was like, oh, I'll just do a trial while I'm here. So.
Yeah, that's always, yeah, I have been known to do that. Like, I'll go see my family, and while I'm there, I'll go to a trial, too. That's always a good way to plan out a visit and go to a dog trial, too.
Right, yes. But yeah. I had to stop that because my dog is a grumpy traveler. And it'd be really grumpy doing a trial, so I had to stop doing that. So yeah.
Oh, okay. So he's not always the best traveler when it comes to distance, huh?
Yeah, he's kind of grumpy. He gets agitated quick. He likes to fly.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. I must say I've been lucky and fortunate that now I like beagles and. All my beagles, my sister's beagle, and my beagles, they've always been good travelers. So they tend to just curl up and go to sleep. So they're pretty good until you stop, and then they're like barking and want out.
Oh yeah, I know they all do that. This is funny.
Yeah, they want to get out too, even though you're always like, hey, you gotta wait just a few minutes. Let me do a few things to get them out. All right. Well, I think I may be out of questions for you. I do often ask people, and I don't really know you that well, so I'll ask, but have you ever gone to any, have you gone to any regionals or nationals in any of the venues?
No, we haven't qualified, but once we qualify, I will try to go. I'm not sure. You have to get invited, right? I've never qualified, so I'm not kind of sure how to go.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you would have to tell me. I can tell you how it works in NADAC, but I can't tell you how it works in any of the other venues. No.
I know. Yeah, we don't qualify in AKC or USDAA, and I just started CPE, so probably a long while before we qualify there.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how. I know a little CPE, but I don't know that much. I don't know the details of how CPE works. I'll have to get somebody on from CPA to tell me more about CPE.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you in general how NADAC normally works, just as a FYI for you. But generally in NADAC, there's two levels in NADAC at the what they call it championships. This year it will be in Springfield, Ohio, and I'll say how it usually works. This year I'm not sure if they even are using the qualifications because last year was a COVID year. You know, so not because some people weren't going to be able to qualify. I think they may have thrown the qualifications out this year. But in general, how it works is you need to get 10 elite regular or standard Qs in the year before the championship. And or you need 10 Qs in like novice or open to go into the pre-elite division of the championship. So there's two levels. There's the elite. Of course, there's all different classifications in elite. There's double-digit dogs, veteran dogs, regular dogs. anyway, and then, you know, similarly in pre-elite, there's that's a, you know, a level for the dogs that don't quite make it, but often the courses are very much the same in the pre-elite. It's just the competition is the, you know, the younger dogs. They're not as experienced as the ones at the elite right. level. So that's how NADAC works, just as a FYI. Yeah.
And so novice can go to the championship?
They can. Generally, they're supposed to have, you know, like I said, 10 Qs. But yes, novice dogs can enter in the pre-elite division championships. Yep. That's how it is. Yep. All right. So, all right. Other than that, I don't think I have any other questions. We've covered that you play the saxophone for fun as another hobby and, we've talked about your dog and your venues. So I thank you for being on the podcast. As I said, you were a first. Most of the people that have been on the... Actually, I'm going to ask another question because it just popped into my head. My last guest on the podcast was Heather Eckenrode. And was she the one that was telling you about NADAC?
No, it was... A lady named Alice told me about. She's in my class.
Okay, Alice, who runs Z that Alice.
The, little,
yes, the that dog. Runs the little the like the Dachshunds. I think they are.
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, I know who you're talking about. Yes, and she's she's almost always at the in the zone. In the zone NADAC trail. Okay, so Alice is the one who told you about NADAC. Very good. Very good. All right. Thank you. Thank you. For, you know, I'm glad we established that. Next time I see Alice down there, I'll have to thank her too because she brought you on. But yes, you're the first person I've like reached out to at a trial. And it was, like I said, it was because it was your first NADAC trial. I had heard that, you know, and also because you were an African American, and I was happy to see someone, you know, someone different. It's great to see. It's always good to see diversity in anything in life, you know.
Right. Yeah, I'm hoping more people will get interested in the sport. I also did trick dog with my dog, and we're starting a freestyle competition in November. So.
Oh, okay. So you like to do like tricks with your dog? Yeah. I don't know. I never got into the trick thing too much, but that yeah. There's a whole nother thing with tricks. Yeah, you've done that, and then freestyle. I assume you mean in like dancing with the dog?
Yes.
Yeah. My sister has. I think she's dabbled in that with her. Not with her. I don't think she's done it with the beagle so much, but she had a dog before that, which was a soft-coated Wheaton Terrier, actually. And she, yeah, but that dog had some problems being around other dogs. But the freestyle, you like some of the agility things, you could do videos and stuff with the freestyle and submit it in some places for... But yeah, the dancing dog thing is pretty cool. So, and it looks like a lot of fun too. So, good luck with that.
I'm excited. So.
Yeah. Okay. Are you taking a class with that for somewhere, or are you just trying it on your own?
Actually, during COVID, AKC was offering you could do get your title online, and after that, I found a class. So I do it online. I have my private session online.
Okay. All right. That's pretty good. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Well, that, this is what happens with people who enjoy dogs. It's like, you might do agility. You might then start doing other things too with your dogs because you enjoy being with them and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, he's my buddy. He's my buddy.
Yeah, I get that. So's my guy. And my guy's
Oh.
being real good. He's curled up under the table here as I'm talking to you. So he's being good for me today. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you again. I think I've covered, I'm kind of searching my brain here. I think I'm out of questions in my head for you. But as I said, I definitely thank you. It was great seeing you. And I might pitch it to the next somebody else I see at a trial. I might pitch it to them to come on the podcast because I'm so thankful that you decided to come on the podcast with me.
I enjoy it. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, at some point I may reach out to people that I've had on the podcast in the future, maybe down the road, maybe next year, because I do intend to keep going with my podcast. That's my hope, and I think it would be good to circle back with some people. And for you, being that you've really only gone to one Nate Act trial, I would be curious to circle back with you in a year or two, and if you're still doing Nate Act, see how you enjoy it.
Hopefully, I still am because I like it. Really, I really like it. So,
Yeah, I didn't ask this, but I'm curious now. How old is your dog?
oh, he's 7. He turned 7 April 28th.
Okay, 7-year-old. So he's actually in NADAC. He can be considered a veteran dog at 7, but he's a small dog, so you should have a lot of good years left doing agility with him, hopefully.
Right, I have a friend who's doing agility. Her dog, her mini poodle, is like 12 years old.
Right, yeah. And that's why, like I mentioned NADAC Champs, there's actually a separate division at NADAC Champs at the elite level. I don't know if it's in the pre-elite, it might be. But I know at the elite level, they have a division just for double-digit dogs. So once your dog hits 10, you can go in a separate division with dogs that are 10 or over. And then obviously it's divided up in the small ones, the medium and the large and stuff like that. So but that's one of the things I've always liked about Nanak. They actually want people to be able to compete with their dogs as long as possible and into double digits.
Right, that's my goal. I try to stretch them every day, do extra fitness exercises, and keep them in shape.
Yeah, okay. So you do like the conditioning stuff and the stretching
Right.
for your dog. Yeah, no, that's important to keep your dog flexible and healthy and right for doing agility. Yeah. All right. At this point, I think I will say thank you for maybe the fifth time, and I thank you for being on the podcast and joining me.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. And I'm going to pop in here with my quick thank you to all my listeners. I thank you for subscribing, following, writing reviews. And I want to remind you that if you want to send an email, volunteer to be a guest, comment on any of the episodes, you can find my email in the show notes for any show, or you can just take it down. It's offcourse@optimum.net, offcourse@optimum.net. You can send us any feedback or comments, I appreciate every time anyone does that. I thank you. And I thank you for listening. I'm back with my final comments. I enjoyed speaking with Toya McCullough, and I had seriously given thought to releasing this podcast a week earlier, just because she had told me about the Westminster Masters Agility competition. And I thought, well, if I put the podcast out a week earlier, people would know about it and maybe be able to watch it. But I just didn't have the chance because it really would have been, I didn't have enough time to finalize the podcast and release it last week. So it's coming out this week on June 16th. Since I was aware of the Masters Agility at Westminster, I set my DVR and I did tape it. And I did enjoy watching it. It's always nice to see a different venue and see what the standard course looks like. Obviously, Westminster, I believe, is part of AKC, I think. So the course, I believe, was very AKC-like. I mean, it had a teeter. It had a panel jump, had a broad jump. It had a tire jump. It had the A-frame. It had the dog walk. I don't remember the exact course, so I'm not going to try to describe you describe it. But it was nice watching all those top competitors that had made it into the finals. And I definitely saw the thrill of victory because Verb, the Border Collie, who I think has won Westminster Agility in the past, he was the overall winner. And that Border Collie was super fast and did a beautiful run. And I don't know the name of the person, but I also saw the agony of defeat because one handler, it was a man, he was having a beautiful run. And on this course, and people have heard me talk about backsides before, not my favorite thing because I occasionally do them in training. There was a backside, and his dog was running really fast and was out ahead of him. And I think he was trying to run really fast to get to that backside jump to be able to direct his dog. And his feet got caught up on the surface, and he went down flat. Woo! And he was trying to direct the dog from the ground. But if I recall, I think the dog then took that backside jump the wrong direction and pretty much sealed the fate of that run. But he still got up and he finished the course. He was a trooper. So I wish I remembered the guy's name. Well, maybe it's better or not, because how embarrassing. You make it to the finals. You're on national TV and you have that happen to you. But I think we can all feel for that gentleman, because I think all of us have occasionally forgot where we were going on a course or something happened. I know I've occasionally had my feet get caught up. I don't know if I've ever fallen. Probably have. But anyway, I was thinking of the agony defeat watching him. It was not. it was a little tough to watch that. But I looked around online. I couldn't find a link to it, so I didn't put anything in the show notes. It was on Fox. It might be on one of their apps or something that you might be able to watch it. There definitely were snippets I found on YouTube. Like, I saw the beautiful run from Verb, the Border Collie. That was the overall best run in the agility finals. So you could definitely see that if you do a search on Westminster Agility Masters Verb. I'm sure you'll find it online if you want to see just that run. And also, while I was watching, I did see a glimpse of Toya McCullough. I saw one little glimpse of her. She was pretty much off the side of the screen. I just knew it was her. But then there was one run during it somewhere where the camera actually caught her. I don't know if she said it on the podcast, but I believe she was doing the leash running. And she was there right on the side of the ring, standing upright. And I definitely knew that was her, since I've met her. But it was nice to see that. And overall, I'd say the one thing about the people I saw in the finals, I'd say it was a little bit more even men to female. But I did not see, I didn't see any Black Americans. I didn't see anybody else that really stuck out as diversity. And it is nice to see diversity. to me. And that's why when I saw Toya, I went over and talked to her at the trial. I wanted her to be on the podcast because I'd already heard it was her first trial, but also because she was a Black American. And I have so seldomly seen an African American at a trial. And it's good to see. I like to see diversity in all that I do. I live in New Jersey. I live in a town that's relatively diverse. I went to school in the town that I live in when I was younger. And, you know, we had Blacks, we had Hispanics, we had Asians, we had, you know, and we had whites of all different nationalities. So it's how I was brought up, seeing diversity. And I work in the IT industry. I work with a lot of people from India, you know, Southeast Asia. I also work with, you know, Black Americans, African Americans. My company is, you know, diversity is an important thing. It's always good, and it's nice to have, you know, different people's views. I enjoy seeing it, and I enjoy seeing different people. So, saying that, though, my company is actually, this happened for me last year. It came totally out of the blue. I was not even aware of it. My company last year gave me Juneteenth off. And I was like, what is Juneteenth? And so I learned what Juneteenth is. It's the day that some slaves in Texas first found out that they were free from the Emancipation Proclamation. It took like many months for them, I forget the exact date, but I think it was like June 19th of 1865, I think was the date, where they found out that they had been freed by Abraham Lincoln in the Emancipation Proclamation. And so it's a day that I think first was celebrated mostly in Texas as a big, you know, celebratory day. And but it's gaining national recognition, I know. So this year, once again, my company is giving me Juneteenth off. The actual day, I believe, is Saturday, which just so happens that it works out real nice because there's a trial in Vermont. And they have given me the Friday off. So I'm getting Friday, June 18th off as the observed Juneteenth holiday that my company is now starting to give us. And I think they will continue to do so. So I'm very happy about that. I'll recognize the holiday as best I can while I'm at the trial. And I will enjoy that day off. So if you are going to a trial somewhere, like I will be again shortly, I wish you happy trialing.